Hey everyone, it's Felger here for Cambridge Savings Bank, my official bank. Listen, small businesses are so important to our communities. That's why I'm excited to share CSB's new business hub with articles, tools, and resources to help you start, manage, and grow your small business. Still have questions? Just fill out the contact form on the site to get in touch directly with the small business team. Check it out at cambridgesavings.com/hub. That's H-U-B, member FDIC.
Boston's home for sports. Boston's home for sports. It's just a command away.
Open your mouth.
Just ask your smart speaker to play. Play E5, the sports hub.
Oh, I need one of those.
Let's do something crazy.
Wake up with Toucher and Rich.
Oh, boy, that's dumb.
Just tell your smart speaker to play. 98.5, the sports hub.
Bogarts with a chopper up the third baseline for Andujar. Long throw. Balls and a strike. Bounced up the middle. And through. And that's how the Red Sox have walked it off tonight. Wow!
For the Yankees, you know, they come in here 4.5 back, hoping to gain ground, and they lead 9.5. This loss in particular is devastating, is a painful one. And to think Tanaka, to waste that very good start, Betances, Britton, all pitch well. The lesson for the Yankees is they still have a ways to go here. Besides just getting Sanchez and Aaron Judge back, you have to catch the ball to win in October. And Andujar, he's just got to tighten up his defense a little bit. And we saw Gleyber Torres making some mental mistakes. This is the type of time of year you want to tighten everything.
Andujar, absolutely terrible yesterday.
Twice. Backed up on a ground ball he shouldn't have, and then that play, nice.
Essentially cost his team the game last night.
Yep.
And Cora, after the game on Saturday, was talking about the tremendous, what I guess you would say, being able to make the play, being able to make the average play, the routine play, how the Red Sox have managed to do that. And you'd be surprised. You take those plays for granted, but that can equal, you know, 8-9 wins in a season.
Yeah, here he is. Dan. Yeah.
Talented. There's good stuff throughout our pitching staff. We catch the ball, too. I know sometimes we struggle, but we make the routine play. If you hit the ball in the air, most likely it's going to be caught. But besides that, I think we've been making the routine plays, and that's what you have to do when you get the lead. Don't give them more than 27 outs.
Unless you're Xander Bogaerts yesterday, which unfortunately that was a tough one, and obviously he did not feel very good about it afterwards. But can you look something up for me, John?
Yeah.
Aroldis Chapman, is it me or does it seem like the Red Sox just own him? Like the last several times they faced him, they've had some pretty good luck with this guy. And I actually heard, I might have been Alex Cora afterwards, and I'll see if I can find the clip.
I think I know what you're talking about. I think it was J.D. Martinez who said a lot of guys throw 100 miles an hour now. Before it was just Chapman, so he's tough to face. Now, and he's right.
Yep.
You know, guys that can gas it up there between 98 and 101, two dozen guys can do it now, maybe more.
So now it's not as intimidating.
Yeah,
when you go up against Aroldis Chapman. But, I mean, it just seems that as of late, this team has had their way with him, but I mean, if this doesn't immediately that was a dagger. That is a season-defining weekend sweep for both teams. And I got a feeling, I know that Aaron Boone said this is not going to define us. I mean, this is it. I mean, this is something that could possibly affect his job status by the end of the season.
Well, they've wanted to fire him since probably game two. They've wanted to get Boone out of there.
You know who's been like eerily quiet is Brian Cashman. Like, you haven't heard a ton from him as of late. Even with the trade deadline and everything, he's been kind of quiet during all of this. And it's got to make you think that, I mean, obviously, momentum's on the side of the Red Sox. But just the way things seem to be being handled with the Yankees, that things may not be as well as we all believe that they were beforehand. Yes, John,
This last night was the fifth time that Chapman had faced the Red Sox, and they scored off him three times.
Okay, yeah.
So, I mean, that's something. He's had a pretty good year. I mean, his ERA, despite the implosion last night, is still 2.25. So, I mean, he's had a real good year, and teams haven't exactly knocked him around. He gave up one run the entire month of June. Sox have done pretty well.
Yeah, here's Alex Cora about Chapman.
Yeah, we felt that we can put good at-bats. He pitched against us the last game in Yankee Stadium. I think we were down 11-0 or whatever it was. And Sandy put a good at-bat. I know we scored a run against him. And I know it was an 11-0 game, but we saw the at-bats and we... I mean, he's still down. He's still one of the best closers in the league. But we feel that we can put good at-bats and that happened.
Now, John, you freaked out when they didn't make a move for the bullpen at the trade deadline. Are you still, after this weekend, concerned?
Yes, of course I am. A lot of people look at the bullpen and say, well, they pitch well. It's easier to pitch when your team is down two or three runs. I mean, than it is when you're trying to protect a 2-1 lead in the eighth inning with everything on the line. I still haven't seen a guy. I mean, Thornburg came in. He walked a couple of guys in the ninth inning last night and got out of it. But I haven't seen anything yet that tells me that Thornburg is the eighth inning guy and, in a playoff
series.
We've
talked about it a million times. Playoff baseball is played differently.
Much, much differently. You got to pitch, you know, back-to-back games 3 times in 4 days, and most times these are high, high-pressure, high-leverage innings. And I keep telling everyone, I'm rooting like hell for that guy Brazier to pitch well. He's a 30-year-old. He was out 2 years with Tommy John. He was pitching in Japan, and here he is in the middle of a race here. Pitching for the best team in baseball, he could be the seventh or eighth inning guy. I hope he pitches well, but this is a calculated roll of the dice from Dave Dombrowski. He's hoping that Tyler Thornburg will become the guy he was in Milwaukee a couple of years ago. And he's pitching well now, but he's been hurt, you know, since he's been here. There's no guarantee he's going to hold up, and there's no guarantee he's ever going to get back to form in a high-leverage situation. How many times did Tyler Thornburg have to close out a playoff series in Milwaukee? I mean, it's different. So,
and plus, your middle relief can win you a series, as we discussed.
Yes.
You know, Cleveland in a, going to the late in Game 7 against a team they had no business competing with, and that was pretty much due to their middle relief.
We're not going to get answers. And because the Red Sox are up by so much, we're not going to get answers to this before the end of the regular season. So here we are. You have what you have. Maybe he gets an arm before August 31st. That's still a possibility, and we'll wait and see what he does before September 1st before finally making a decision or a judgment here. But right now, I am not confident that this bullpen is a bullpen that can go win you a World Series. I'm not. Not yet. Obviously, they have the magic surrounding. Obviously, the offense is good. Obviously, they have two MVP candidates hitting at the top of their order. All of that stuff is true. But
no, you're not even being negative.
Playoff games are a different animal. They're played closer. You're not going to beat teams 11-1.
They're going to have the best record in baseball. It's done. They're going to have the top seed in the playoffs. Unfortunately, I don't know if they're going to play the worst team.
Right.
With that,
just the way the playoffs are set up, it is different. The biggest takeaway I had from this weekend: A, the Yankees are done. But B, David Price. David Price, his last two starts, has not been trying to throw the ball by people. He hasn't been throwing 95, 96 miles an hour. I think we talked about it, Fred, a couple of starts ago, that Price got one swing and miss on his fastball in 8 innings and only gave up 1 run. And last night, yeah, he left with 2 guys on in the 7th, but he was very good against a team that had beaten him like a drum all season. So, if this David Price shows up in the playoffs, I feel real good, at least about the rotation.
I would play devil's advocate, and people could say, well, it was a no-pressure situation last night, and that he...
Sure. You get beat. I mean, the chance that you weren't thinking you were going to sweep him anyway. If you lose 6-1, you lose 6-1.
No, it was the best-case scenario.
But it's
for him.
A step in the right direction. I'm looking for positives here. It's a step in the right direction for Price.
I'm just going to tell you what people are going to say today as a counterpoint.
Sure.
In that, who cared about last night's game? It didn't matter.
And I'm telling you, they need Price to pitch well in the playoffs for them to win a World Series. And last night, and the way he's pitched the last couple of times out, is certainly an indicator that things are trending in the right direction.
Well, you know what Aaron Boone thinks. He thinks He's got. He thinks that the guys in his locker room were super cool dudes.
I believe in the dudes we got in that room. I believe over time we're going to continue to have people that are really important to the club come back
snazzy
and
dressers.
Play a role. But I walk around that room every day, and
these bros,
these are guys
just,
that are
I walk around the room every day, and I go hang
really
loose, bro.
Coming in
snapping
here, and
towels,
I think
flushing
what happened the day before, regardless of result. And yep. this is a you know a time when it's obviously tough for us right now. And that's when you got to look around the room and kind of lean on each other and count on each other. And we will do that.
And I go to the team. I go, there's nothing wrong with a little feast on our time.
That's a good call.
Thank you.
Where's that from? Am I missing that reference?
Fast Times at Ridgemont High.
Fast Times Ridgemont High.
How'd you not get the Spicoli reference?
I've only seen that movie like three times.
What?
What?
Yeah.
I've
one of the great movies of all time.
Dude, it's a great movie.
How many stars
actually,
are in that movie?
No. Scratch that. Every scene with Jeff Spicoli is great. The rest of the movie is fine.
No.
She gets the abortion. There's Damone.
Phoebe Cates sucking on a carrot. Come on. There are a lot of scenes in that movie that
Damone.
Are great.
Damone drove me crazy.
Oh, Damone is
also
great.
His friend who forgot his wallet was stupid.
That's every a great scene.
See, every scene with Spicoli was great. And every
Spicoli steals the show. There's no question about it.
Of course.
But he's in it for like 10 minutes.
I know.
He's
the Hanson brothers of Slapshot. Like, he's the guy who just like.
By the way, the Hanson brothers aren't even funny. Like, if you go back
and watch Slapshot?
Yeah, if you go back and watch it, they're not.
When they're playing with their trains? that scene makes me like cackle every time I see it.
No, the Russian guy.
It's not
guy
even part
the
of the
star.
Ice. It's just when they're just, okay, coach, and they're playing with the trains.
Yeah, the goalie is the star. Anyway.
He's great, too.
The scene where they're at the restaurant is a fantastic scene. I mean, you got your Phoebe Cates coming out of the pool. How many people have you heard go like, ooh la la? Like, again, there's the internet. Find a lot more than that. Jeff Howe is going to join us. He's been at the Patriots camp and seeing everything that's going on. But first, here's the CBS Sports Minute brought to you by Cambridge Savings Bank.
You get to experience it for breakfast.
He's like, hello!
The Toucher and Rich Show on 98.5, The Sports Hub.
The Sports Hub, or Toucher and Rich. Marquette King is the new punter for the Broncos. He's supposed to be this, like, devil-may-care punter. And he, like, sabotaged some interview that was going on. And so Darren McKee, who we have on the show.
Darren McKee, who works at the radio station out in Denver.
And yeah. Who we have on the show, put up a Twitter criticizing him. Marquette King put up two emojis, which I'm learning means to suck his...
Okay.
And then Darren McKee, went out to practice, and Jay King came out after him.
Like, what do you mean, after him?
Yeah, he said that, he goes, this guy goes, here's the Marquette King situation is escalating 48 hours in review. Friday, King sabotaged his interview with Stoke and I, so we shut it down after a minute and 30 seconds. Saturday, King on Twitter tells D-Mac to suck his you-know-what. Sunday, King finds D-Mac and threatens him. Great start as a Bronco. And so Darren McKee kept going, keep my name out of your mouth. And McKee was going, or what? And they had to be separated by the people over there. With the media, with the Broncos, Jeff Howe from TheAthletic.com, Patriots beat writer. Jeff Howe, have you ever seen anything like that happen?
Not to that extent, but I know with the punter battle going on in Foxborough right now, I'm going to tread a whole lot more lightly.
Ryan Allen's coming for you.
What is the most aggressive that you've seen a player get towards any kind of reporter or writer that was there?
I don't have any great examples off the top of my head. I mean, I had one that's, you know, not that great of a story. Back in 06, when I was just sort of doing some random stringing for the Boston Metro, I was down in Foxborough, and I thought, you know, I didn't know anything about anything. I just knew that Corey Dillon was a good football player, and I had no idea he didn't like talking to the media. So I'm like, hey, you know what? I'm 23 years old. He'll probably enjoy talking to me. And I walked up to him in the middle of the locker room, and I was like, hey, Corey, you got a minute? And he just walks right past me. And then, you know, 20 feet later, he turns around and goes, no. And I'm like, okay. And then he takes 10 more steps and he turns around one more time and says, no. Okay. I guess we're not talking.
Yeah, it just seems like you're not invested in this conversation.
So what do you think about the move for Eric Decker? Do you like it? How are you feeling about it?
I mean, nothing against Decker himself. I just, usually this time of year when you bring in a veteran wide receiver, especially with the Patriots, you have no idea what you're going to get. So really for me, the big thing is I think today the contract stuff will probably come out as it's documented with the league. And then we'll find out, you know, what's the signing bonus look like? I don't really care about the fact that he can make between 1.9 and 2.5 million this season. I mean, that's just one of those things where if he comes in and is productive, great, they'll pay it. But you look at the signing bonus and the guaranteed money. If it's, you know, south of $100,000, then it, to me, this is the Patriots looking at this guy like he's coming in on a tryout basis, and we'll see how he looks over the next 3 weeks. If it's, you know, $150,000 to $200,000, okay, they expect this guy to come out and make the team. So I know, you know, Reggie Wayne had a $400,000 signing bonus, and obviously that never even got off the ground, but you look at the guaranteed money and what it takes for a guy to, you know, get off his couch and come up, you know, on a plane flight to Foxborough and go through this all again at this stage of his career. And, you know, again, that's usually where you start to see how a team values a guy in terms of, you know, do they definitely think he's going to be one of their five receivers on September 1st?
I was just looking at it, Jeff. Apparently the guaranteed money is $75,000.
Oh, well, there you go.
There's your answer.
That's a tryout.
Yep.
Yeah. That's let's just cross our fingers, see how this goes. And if it doesn't, all right, then we bite the $75,000 and everyone's for the better for it.
Yeah. You know, usually a pretty good rule of thumb is when a guy signs, even, you know, let's say March, even if it's like a 1 year, 2 year deal, whatever it is, anything like north, you know, $200,000 to $250,000 in terms of the signing bonus or guaranteed money, that's a guy that the team expects to be on the roster for at least a season. You know, they're clearly cases when it hasn't worked out that way. The running back from UConn like 2 years ago, whose name I can't, had the bad hamstrings, that didn't work out. But, you know, every now and then, but again, $200,000 to $250,000 is usually a pretty good barometer.
All right. So, Jeff, does it seem to you that Bill Belichick's gone soft this preseason? I mean, the fact that, you know, the other day when they had that practice in front of everybody and they gave the punt returner a second chance, and then you had 2 days off and a very light practice the other day when everyone thought it was going to be one of the more physical practices.
Real quick, what Rich is talking about is they said we'll give you a day off if a lineman can catch a punt, and they gave him two chances to do it.
They gave him two chances. And then the other day, as I said, there was supposed to be a very tough practice. It ended up being a light practice. I know it started raining and they ran a few hills, but then they gave him the day off. Does it seem like a different type of Bill Belichick attitude towards the preseason this year as opposed to the others?
I think there's – now, I was extremely surprised by the pace of Saturday's practice. It was way, way, way lighter than I thought it was going to be. I mean, most of us thought it was going to be a scrimmage. So the fact that it was dialed back and there were no competitive periods for Brady or Hoyer, you know, that shows me that, you know, kind of dialing back a little bit for him, or, you know, letting the foot off the gas. As for the punt, the Isaiah Wynn punt thing, I thought that was funny because, and again, I'm just sort of throwing this against the wall here. I don't know exactly how it played out or what Bill Belichick promised them to have off, but Tuesday was a scheduled day off anyway. So I'm wondering if Isaiah Wynn dropped that punt, Belichick was like, wait a second, I don't want to come to work tomorrow. We'll do it again. So I just don't know what exactly he had told the team before that.
Right. That doesn't seem something that you would take incredibly seriously. Like,
no.
You know, does it? All right, dude. Let's see if you can do this again. That doesn't seem something. It seems, you're right. It seems to me like, hey, you had the day off anyway.
But let's watch
the fat guy catch it.
But does it seem like the foot's off the gas just a little bit this year as opposed to past years?
Well, I think naturally it has to be just because the joint practices aren't here and you don't have to dial up for them. You know, the other thing there is when you've got joint practices, especially back-to-back weeks, Belichick has always said that they have to do a lot of their installation work before that other team comes to town, because you're just sort of going over stuff when that team's there. You can't really do as much instruction. A, you don't want to tip your hands, and B, you don't want to kind of slow the pace of the practice to the disservice of the other team. So that could have some play as to why it's more of a slow climb as opposed to an intense first week, week and a half before another team comes in. You know, Belichick could look at this and see, hey, you know what? I've got a veteran team. I don't have to rush it because I don't have back-to-back weeks of joint practices, or I'm not spending a week in West Virginia, or, you know, actually, I think it's 2 straight years they've been in West Virginia, or, you know, it was a year in Richmond. So I think there are some differences there. And, of course, the magnifying glass is a whole lot bigger this year because of, you know, all the stories and stuff from the offseason.
How much of a pain in the ass is this new use of the helmet rule going to be? I know that during that game the other day, it was a very controversial call. How do you think it's going to play out this season?
Oh, it's not going to be good. I mean, nobody likes it, and it's almost impossible. There are certain situations where, you know, even if it's not malicious or lazy technique, I mean, there are certain situations when, like, if you go from a speed to a power rush, I mean, you're naturally just going to put your head down. Or if you're going in for a tackle, I mean, it's just, I think the biggest concern is going to be the lack of consistency, because that's really, unfortunately, what it's come down to with a lot of these calls over the last few years is you don't necessarily know what one penalty is going to be, not even just from crew to crew, but from quarter to quarter, play to play. So let something like this that has been part of football for, you know, what feels like 100 years at this point, and now it's going to be open to interpretation. And, you know, you hear mixed messages from the officiating crews around the league, or at least the interpretation when players say what they think they heard as opposed to what an official said during a team meeting or whatever. So I think that's going to be the biggest problem. There's just not going to be any consistency.
Jeff, when are we going to see Sony Michel?
That's a good question. I mean, I was told that his preseason is definitely in jeopardy, and, you know, I'm not saying that he's definitely going to miss time in the regular season. I don't want it to come out like that. But what I'm saying is that, you know, it has been discussed that the possibility exists that this knee could eat into the beginning of his regular season. Now, again, I'm not trying to, you know, sound the alarms there or anything. Just saying that, you know, several weeks out before there, 5 weeks out before that happens, you know, that's been a conversation that they've had. They just got to sort of see how the knee responds over the next couple of weeks. And then that's certainly not a guy who's a first-round pick, as explosive as he is, with long-term talent potential. And you're not going to rush him back when the kid's had a torn ACL as a sophomore in high school, 2 documented knee sprains at Georgia, and now a knee procedure here in his basically first week of training camp. So they're not going to rush him back. They never rush anybody back, but, you know, with the value invested in Sony Michel and the potential return on that, you know, you're not going to force. I mean, look what they're doing with Kenny Britt. They're not forcing him to kind of get through the hamstring injury that he's basically overcome at this point. So they're certainly not going to, you know, come away 3 weeks out of a knee procedure with Michel and just sort of rush him back onto the field. So I'd be surprised if you saw him in the preseason. I don't know whether or not it's going to be week one, week two, or I mean, shoot, if all goes great, you know, they might run him out there for a few snaps in that Giants finale. But at this point, you know, that's probably the window that they're looking at.
All right, Jeff Howe, athletic.com covers the Patriots. Thank you so much for the time, sir.
All right, thanks a lot, guys. Have a good one.
All right, we appreciate it. Okay. It's time to get down to business.
Is it time, finally? I've been waiting.
It is time to get down to business.
Awesome.
Ray Lewis, inducted into the Hall of Fame, as he should be, made a speech, and we will get into it.
Boston's home for sports. Boston's home for sports. It's just a command away.
Open your mouth.
Just ask your smart speaker to play. Play E5, the Sports Hub.
Oh, I need one of those.
For the latest podcasts, for the latest sports news, and for Tutcher and Rich, download the 98.5 The Sports Hub app now.
People want to hear what Ray Lewis has to say about this, and we are in a protracted labor struggle.
Yeah.
What is your opinion?
Simple. We really got to remove pride. Seriously.
So there's egos involved now.
Come on. There's no other reason the issue is going on. That's why I don't get into word and a lot of all that other stuff, because it takes away from life. Man, there are people who's really struggling. What we're going through right now, we're affecting way more than us.
How so?
It's too many people live through us. Yeah, walking the streets the way I walk the streets. I'm not talking about the people who see all the time.
People who work in stadiums.
Yes.
Fans.
Yes. Yes, who their livelihoods do this research if we don't have a season. Watch how much evil, which we call a crime, watch how much crime picks up if you take away our game.
What do you think that would happen?
There's nothing else to do, Sal.
.985 The Sports Hub. We are Toucher and Rich. I always stand by that quote from Ray Lewis, that line of dialogue is the dumbest, most narcissistic thing.
He repeated it this weekend. Did you hear that?
Yes.
Yeah, he did an interview.
He said that when they played when he played, the crime in Baltimore went down.
Yeah, it went down. It's like nobody needs to be mad now. It's like everybody wants to be happy and celebrate.
Yes.
Yeah, that's his quote.
Baltimore was heaven on earth when the Ravens were playing.
Sure. I mean,
like, if I'm desperate for money and living a life of crime, everyone take a break. The Ravens run. Let's be honest. Let's not do it up.
Oh, but it was a glorious day on Saturday night when you got to tune in on whatever network you watched it on, and you knew it was going to be special, where before he even came out on stage, after everyone else's speeches, they said Ray Lewis has opted to not use a podium. He's instead going to be using a headset microphone, and that's when he just grabbed the popcorn and it's on.
So I'm going to pace the stage.
So Ray Lewis made it out on stage, and the crowd, there was a little video they showed beforehand, involved a lot of white suits that were missing, and
blood.
A lot of blood. And so he came out and was just right away said, "Hey, I'm Ray Lewis. What do you want from me?"
And what people want is me talk incoherently about how important I am.
That's right. You have it right there, friend.
I do have it. And I will get to it this moment.
When God tells you something, believe it.
That's right. God told me, get up here and start talking crazy. Now, if God don't tell you to do anything, sit down. God told me, hey, that knife is an extension of your hand. Use it wisely, Ray. God told me, he said, get up here and make an ass of yourself. I'm going to talk for 35 minutes.
It was great, man.
After all these other guys talked, allow me 35 minutes to waste your time completely.
Oh, no, not a waste.
Except for the Toucher and Rich Show, which was very pleased. All right, here we go. I'm just warning you, I'm going to interrupt you.
Understood.
When God tells you something, believe it. Listen to me. No matter the journey, it's too many ups and downs. But boy, when you believe it, 515-75.
That is my lotto number. Can anyone check the iPhone? Did it come through? Powerball, 6. And then 11 tree cloud grass. 8675309. Don't call that number though, they've been harassed enough. Squiggly line that ampersand. Squiggly line that the teacher and Charlie Brown when they write with the sand. Pig pen.
515-75.
It's half my phone number.
But boy, when you believe it, 515-75.
That's how much I'll sell this jacket for.
remember 5 and remember 7, because they're going to have a recurring attitude in my message.
Yeah, remember the 5 and 7.
That 5's got a bad attitude.
That does.
It's a recurring attitude in this message.
Let her be. Let her be. Remember that from Sesame Street? Let her be. Let her be. Also remember. Remember the word clown. Because I'll get back to that.
Okay. It's a big market tease.
Wow.
Do you remember the great song by Peaches and Herb? Did they do Reunited?
Yeah, as a matter of fact, yes.
Yeah, I like that song. Remember that, too. And Ray, if I may, remember to buy lettuce and milk.
$5.15.75, my mother had me. We had no other route out.
Oh, that's his birthday?
Yes. Okay. Oh, that's his birthday. $5.15.75.
I thought it was some Bible thing.
No,
that's his birthday. Remember that number. Why? Because it's on all my fake documents. Jesus, he's a couple months younger than me.
Because that woman right there, $5.15.75. You hear me? Yeah. Crazy, right?
Tell you. He's, yes.
You were born.
Hey. Crazy, right? Wow. Yes. Okay.
I just see him like pointing at Shelley Long. See that woman right there? She was in the show Cheers.
Yes. Crazy, right?
It is. She gave your Hall of Fame ceremony.
Yes, this is none of the time.
What's Diane doing here?
That's right, her and Sam. You never knew. It kept you tuned in every week. Sitcom Ray Lewis is back.
Sitcom Ray Lewis? What are you doing, sitcom?
Look at the great Alex Karros. He's a member of the Hall of Fame, but I remember more of him as the adoptive father of Webster.
Okay, right. He was on Webster. He was.
And he had the guts and fortitude to marry Madam, even though you could tell Madam might not like boys.
True.
Just shoot it. It's the name of this. For real, that's what the guy said. He said, just shoot me, Ray.
But I stabbed him instead.
Well, what you gonna do?
Yeah. Crazy, right? Tell you about numbers, 5-15-75, right? I played 17 years. I go to the University of Miami, right? And I get signed one of the last scholarships ever given.
Ever.
No more scholarships, ever.
Once you sign it, we're done.
That's it.
Remember this. 5-15-75.
5-15-75.
I signed a scholarship at Miami.
Crazy, right?
What? I'm just remembering things. Remember this. 5-15-75. I signed a scholarship. All right. Then,
all right, I got a game.
Signed one of the last scholarships ever given.
Then they stopped. They said, we can't let anyone into this institution again. He's making us look bad.
Crazy, right?
I mean, he's 45 seconds in.
I know. He's just like, this is like the preamble to warming up.
The motorcycle hasn't
35
even,
the engine one.
Hasn't even like cool, like warmed up yet.
Barely turned the engine over.
I don't know what to tell you.
Crazy, right?
5-15-75, when the second savior was born. His
5-15-75.
Ray Lewis.
And the coach asked me, Randy Shannon asked me, what was the number you wanted? He said, the last numbers we got.
I said, 5-15-75.
5-15-75.
Can you give that to me?
No, you can only have two numbers. You can only have two numbers, Ray.
Like I said, 5-15-75. What's the problem?
Crazy, right?
He makes no sense.
Well, would you like to hear the rest of his sentence?
There's more?
Yes, I would say so. Pick a, he says, pick a number.
Q.
And the coach asked me, Randy Shannon asked me, what was the number you wanted? He said, the last numbers we got is these numbers. And I looked and those numbers was 5 and 2. And I said, give me that 52. He said, why you like 52? I said, because B-Dog, that's God's number. That's completion.
Of course it is. How did I not see that? That's what Randy Shannon said back to him. Of course it is.
We only have two numbers, 5 and 2. Then give me 52.
See, that number's not available.
Crazy, right?
I'd say so.
Because that's God's number. He sits up on a cloud with a 52 jersey on.
That's right. He's a... Jesus wore on the cross a number 52.
Well, I remember they were used to play back when Jesus was leading everyone. They would play flag football. And Jesus always said, give me 52.
B-Dog, that's God's number.
All right, so we continue.
I play 17 years. I leave 17 years. I go play in Super Bowl 47. I get inducted to go into the Pro Football Hall of Fame, Super Bowl 52. Man, God, something else. Man, God.
I'm getting my calculator out of it.
Hang on.
What is it?
I played 14 seasons. I was born in 1975. Then on March 8th, I ate at the Golden Corral. 3-8.
5-15-75.
Crazy, right? I mean, that's nuts.
Crazy, right?
I mean, there's so many numbers there. It's crazy.
Crazy, right? B-Dog, that's God's number. 5-15-75.
That was when I was on The Price is Right. I was playing Plinko. That toaster's 5-15-75.
Is this Game Show Ray Lewis?
Game Show Ray Lewis. Those jokers are wild. Okay, F-E-L-D T-R blank P. F-E-L-D T-R blank P. I'll take an exclamation point, Pat.
5-15-75. B-Dog, that's God's number.
Yeah.
I play 17 years. I leave 17 years. I go play in Super Bowl 47.
I go
play. I get inducted and going to the Pro Football Hall of Fame, Super Bowl 52. Man, God, something else.
I'll tell you what. Then I go and play Plinko, and everything comes up Ray. I was in the Showcase Showdown.
Were you Game Show Ray Lewis?
Yeah.
Okay.
It was a trailer and a jet ski and a living room set.
Yeah, all right. And what did you bid on?
5-15-75.
5-15-75.
Oh, hang on.
Then I rode around on that jet ski. Thank you, Price is Right.
Hey, and you've got a brand new washer and dryer here.
Oh, that crazy climbing guy's going, don't fall, fool. Don't fall. 5-15-75-52-17. All right. Don't fall.
Crazy, right?
How much for the toothpaste, Ray?
$1,572.
B-Dog, that's God's number.
What do you call God? B-Dog. Why? I don't know.
I go play in Super Bowl 47. I get inducted to go into the Pro Football Hall of Fame, Super Bowl 52. Man, God, something else. Man, God, something else. Man, God, something else. Numbers, numbers, numbers. You can play with numbers, but some numbers you can never change.
Numbers. Numbers.
What do you call the thing you people play on airplanes?
Oh, what? It's on airplanes? It's words with friends?
No.
Like he can play with numbers. Sudoku.
Numbers.
But some numbers you can't play with.
You can play with numbers, but some numbers you can never change.
74. That's a tough number. 74, kick your butt.
Okay. Really, really?
Yeah. Wow. You can play around with other ones.
Because it's the God's number?
Yeah. But no, it's just a number that's real tough.
What's the toughest number?
515. Oh, well,
now you've asked me a good question. 154. That'll crap out of you.
Crazy, right? Numbers. You can play with numbers, but some numbers you can never change.
I've tried so hard. I had a ballot in Baltimore to change the number 4 to a cat.
Remember 5 and remember 7, because they're going to have a recurring attitude in my message.
A recurring attitude. I'll tell you, those numbers got attitude. They're sassy.
Numbers.
They're like Blanche on the Golden Girls. Sassy.
Well, we've gone through a minute and 34 of his speech. We will return in just a moment.
515-75.